This podcast is brought to you by the Everything Nut Allergy Cookbook, available now wherever books are sold. Details at foodallergypi.com. Welcome to the Food Allergy Talk podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Horn of Food Allergy PI. The topics covered in this podcast are not medical advice and are simply the opinions and views of both myself and those interviewed. While you will hear me make mention of my holistic nutrition certification, you should know that this is not a medical license and you should always consult a licensed board certified allergist. I'm Lisa Horn of Food Allergy PI, host of Food Allergy Talk. I'm a holistic nutritionist, cookbook author, food allergy community advocate, and blogger. I'm married with 5 children, ages 5, 7, 10, 12, and 15. My oldest is the only one of my 5 children with food allergies, anaphylactic to peanut and shellfish since he was just a baby, and newly diagnosed with pecan, walnut, oats, garlic, which by the way, is in everything and the hardest of them all, sweet potato, watermelon, and pear. We live in southeastern Arizona where I homeschool all 5 of our children. I got involved in the food allergy community through support outreach and fundraising in 2009, following my oldest child's first anaphylactic reaction. Later, in 2012, I initiated legislation to allow for stock epinephrine to be available for all students in Arizona schools. This was passed into law in 2013. In 2018, I began focusing my energy on reaching out to the food allergy community through my blog, Food Allergy PI, because isn't that what we all are? We're investigators, we're detectives, reading all the labels, finding out what's safe, where I share my experience there, caring for food allergies, travel, dining out, product finds, and recipe creation. Most recently, in 2021, I authored the Everything Nut Allergy Cookbook. Now, I have created the Food Allergy Talk podcast as a way to continue building community and helping others in the food allergy world. My goal is to help you not only learn from my journey and those interviewed on the Food Allergy Talk podcast, but to grow and gain confidence in all facets of living a full, whole life with food allergy, body, mind, and spirit. Health, safety, social, emotional, and spiritual well-being, all of which are impacted by living with food allergies, as well as for those caring for others with food allergies. This is Food Allergy Talk, where you can come to connect and leave uplifted, empowered, and ready for success. Welcome back to the Food Allergy Talk podcast. If you're living it or have a question about it, we are talking about it. I'm your host, Lisa Horn of Food Allergy PI. On this episode of Food Allergy Talk, I welcome Lindsay Stippick, well known and loved on social media as Allergy Friendly Mama. Lindsay is a food allergy mama that loves to help other moms on similar journeys. Her daughter, Emma, is allergic to peanuts, dairy, and tree nuts. Emma was diagnosed when she was just a baby, and they found out as soon as they started feeding her solids. If you happen upon Lindsay's social media or website, you'll find an authentic, down-to-earth, and fun side to food allergies in a relatable way, talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly. She also shares tons of food allergy-friendly finds. Today, we will talk with Lindsay about her family's journey with food allergies, what inspired her to become an advocate in the community, some of her favorite food allergy-friendly finds, how they navigate school situations and social situations, and how she uses other resources and the community. Lindsay, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lisa. So excited to be here.
Yes. And before we started, I had mentioned hearing your voice. I feel like I've heard it before in an actual, you know, maybe talking to you on the phone or talking to you in person. And we haven't. It's
no.
Just because
I have followed you so long on social media and watched your stories or your reels and chatted with you in messages. So I feel like I know you, which I think that's one of the really fun things about social media is the way that we can really open up our world and our resources and our friend group and our tribe or our team or whatever, and really get to know people.
Oh my goodness. The food allergy community is the best. And I truly feel like, especially for you, I've been following you too for years. And right when we started talking, it's like, oh yeah, we've talked before. We're old friends. 'Cause that's just what it feels like. Being connected on there. So I love it. Love this community. Have just had the best time.
Yeah. And it's fun because we both started about the same time, somewhat. And I've really just enjoyed to watch you grow online and, you know, as a fellow food allergy mama, but also to see your family grow, to see Emma grow over the years, and just to see how you guys live a full whole life with food allergies. And I think one of the neat things to take away from it for anyone that's listening is that you will see lots of different people online. And you know, the way that you live your life with your family with food allergies may not look exactly like mine, but there's no exact right way to do it. Everybody might do it a little bit differently. And that's kind of one of the neat things to take away from it is that you can kind of, like a cafeteria, so to speak, you can kind of pick what works for you and your family when you learn from different individuals in the food allergy community. And so that I think that's really helpful too.
Oh, 100%. I always see Instagram too, or whatever platform people are using. It's kind of like you're a fly on the wall and you get to see like little snippets of like, oh, this is how they do that. Or this is, you know, what they're doing with that. And I feel like it helps me too, to be able to see what other people are doing. And sometimes I may say, oh, well, I do it differently and that's okay too. Or sometimes I might be like, you know what? That was a great idea. I would have never thought about that. And so that's why I feel like community is so great, because we can all kind of help each other, but there's no, you know, right or wrong way to do things. And I think that's always so important to let people know.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of going back to how it all started, I mentioned briefly in your introduction, you know, that Emma was diagnosed when she was a baby and kind of about her food allergies, but I want to say she used to maybe be allergic to egg or
yes.
No. So kind of, yeah. Kind of tell us about that. Kind of tell us about, you know, she was a baby and what were her first reactions like? I think it's so important for people to hear other stories because it seems like so many of them are so similar. And there's almost something therapeutic in a way about listening to someone else's story of their first reactions and how they handled it and, you know, how they were diagnosed. So kind of tell us about the history of that for your family.
Yeah. So I'll kind of start off by saying, you know, food allergies don't really run in either my husband or I's family. So it's something I was not super knowledgeable about. I did have one friend growing up that had a peanut allergy. And she was never really talked about it much. Like we would go out to restaurants. And so, you know, food allergies just honestly wasn't on my radar at all. I mean, it was literally the last thing on my mind. I'm also somebody that deals with anxiety. And so I remember thinking like, when my friend who had the peanut allergy, I remember thinking like, that would be so hard to deal with if you are someone that deals with anxiety, like myself, because talk about feeling out of control and stuff. So I was just, you know, living my life. Sam is Emma's older brother. He was born and really nothing crazy, just kind of a normal pregnancy. You know, I do remember feeling like he might have a dairy intolerance because he had really bad eczema. Mm-hmm. Well, turns out Sam has a lot of outdoor allergies. He's allergic to dogs and cats. So his was more manageable allergies, I guess you can say. You know, obviously I remember feeling kind of like, I'm not sure I know how to handle all this, but it wasn't something that was super alarming to me at the time. So Sam was about two when I got pregnant with Emma. And once Emma was born, pregnancy was normal. You know, there was really nothing I was concerned about. And
I was nursing Emma. Everything was great. Everything was fine. Never had any issues. The first time I introduced solids to her, it was, you know, fruits and veggies, and that was fine. I gave her some yogurt, and I noticed she was getting kind of like this rash around her mouth and a couple bumps. And I just kind of was like, well, it's probably just some sort of sensitivity. But I made a doctor's appointment. The doctor agreed. Yeah, she didn't seem too concerned. She said it could have just been, you know, like a dye in the yogurt or something that just kind of irritated around her mouth. And so I again was like, okay, I'm just, you know, and I remember thinking about my friend who had this peanut allergy. So it kind of started getting in the back of my mind, like, I don't know anybody that has a dairy allergy. So I'm just going to keep giving her this dairy. So it kept getting worse. I would give her yogurt. I think the next time I gave it to her, she would get more of those bumps. Now at the time they were hives. I was, like I said, so clueless. I didn't really know. I knew something was not right, but I didn't really understand what was going on. So anyways, I just stopped giving her the yogurt. I noticed though, she was kind of having issues with constipation. And when I say constipation, I'm talking like we started having to give her Miralax at, I believe she was probably like 8 months old. And I was just so concerned. I'm like, why am I having to give my 8 month old Miralax from like 2 bites of yogurt? Like I couldn't wrap my head around that. So it was like really concerning to me. And then I introduced scrambled eggs. So we took a break from the yogurt, wasn't super concerned, gave her the scrambled eggs. The first, after she had like 2 bites, so she was using her hand to pick up the eggs, her entire hand was covered in hives and all around her mouth was covered in hives. So then I was like, okay, this is even worse than the yogurt. So I make another doctor's appointment. At this point, he's like, yeah, this definitely sounds like she has some allergies, but you know what? It's just milk and egg. She's probably going to outgrow it. So at this point, I'm still not super concerned. I'm, you know, obviously I'm starting to get a little more nervous, but, you know, I was like, yeah, that's true. I don't know anybody that has a dairy and egg allergy. You know, maybe they can't have it for a little bit, but I don't know anybody that has that. And so I remember asking, I said, so am I good to go ahead and give her peanuts and tree nuts as well? And he said, oh yeah, I think that'll be fine. You know, cause with the milk and egg, she'll probably outgrow. So I said, okay. So I go home, gave her peanut butter. The first time I gave it to her, no symptoms, nothing. She's perfectly fine. Gave it to her a second time, no issues at all. So I'm like, okay. We're good. I give her peanut butter the third time. I put it like on a sandwich, I think. And she took one bite and all of a sudden her whole face swelled up. I mean, her eyes were swollen, hives started appearing everywhere. And then I panicked because I know when I, you know, this is before I knew about allergies, but it's like when I think about allergies, I would think about peanut allergy. And I know how quickly that can get really serious. So I rushed her over to the doctor. They took her right away. They saw her. And basically at that point was when we went for allergy testing. That's when I also found out through a blood test and the skin prick test that she was also allergic to several tree nuts. So when we did that test, she was basically allergic to all the tree nuts. So almonds, hazelnuts, pecans, pistachios, walnuts, all the things. And let me just tell you that it rocked my world. It was honestly, I remember that day after that allergist appointment, I couldn't even function. And also at the time, I was still nursing. And the allergist just told me, well, you have to take all of those foods out of your diet because you're still nursing her. I'm like, dairy, eggs, peanuts, like, what do I possibly eat? I had no idea what I was supposed to do, how I was supposed to survive, how I'm supposed to keep my daughter alive. they really didn't give me much information. I had zero community. I knew maybe a couple people that had like one allergy, but that was it. And I'm just telling you, it was a very, very scary and dark time for me. So it was not fun finding out. But yeah, we did find out that most of her allergies, we found those out through actually feeding her those foods.
Yeah. And I can relate when you talk about it just rocks your world. Mm-hmm. It really does. And I think that would be true for most, you know, individuals, whether it's the individual themselves that has the food allergies and maybe you, are diagnosed as a teen or, you know, an adult. But especially as a caretaker, especially as a young parent, you have, it's not just your own life and yourself. Cause so often, how many times do we say, like, if your kid skins their knee or whatever, we're like, you kind of have this feeling, it's kind of natural as a parent to be like, oh, I wish I could take that pain from you. I wish mm-hmm. it was just my knee that was, I can handle it, you know? But yep. there's something about when it is your child that is going through something or has this, disability or something that they have to deal with in life, even other things like social situations, if somebody's mean to them or, you know what I mean? It's like, right. Oh, I just wish I could take that from you, you know? But then also when they're a baby, when they're a toddler, when they really are so much more truly dependent on you for eating all the basics, all the, you know, what's that hierarchy, that chart that we used to learn in school about shelter and like your basic needs, right?
Yes.
And eating food is a basic need. And now that basic need is something that could potentially be life-threatening and kill your child. You know, when food can mm-hmm. kill, it's no wonder it creates anxiety. No wonder it creates stress. And then you're thinking kind of like you thought even for yourself when they said that you had to take it out of your diet, what do I eat?
Yeah.
So the question is, you know, like what did you do? What did you eat? What does she eat now?
Right.
You know, what are some, how do you kind of navigate eating out or buying food or making recipes?
Yeah. So that was definitely the hardest part in the beginning. And that's why a lot of times when new food allergy moms message me, I'm always like, it's always going to be hard. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's a hard journey no matter what, but it will get easier because you are going to learn, you know, what your child can eat, what you can eat, you know, what you're going to cook. Because in the beginning, I mean, you're literally changing your lifestyle in a heartbeat. Like it just happens so quickly. And like I said, when I left the allergist, it's not like they're like, hey, reach out to this nutritionalist and they'll help you get started. Or, hey, here's this counselor that will help you guys get through this time and work with you through it. There is no support. It's just, for me, at least, this was my experience. The allergist said, this is what your child's allergic to, avoid it at all costs. Good luck was basically how I felt. I do remember very vaguely, but my first shopping trip after I found out Emma had all these allergies, I had contacted a friend who knew a friend whose son had, I think it was like an egg and a peanut allergy. So not the dairy, but she had given me a list. And I remember she said, you're going to have to just go to the store and read ingredients on everything and kind of start making a list of what things are safe and when things aren't. And she's like, but then you're going to have to think about, does it have shared facility? Does it have shared lines with other food? And I just remember being like, what are you talking about? Like, I remember thinking, I don't even understand this. Like, this is just such a scary concept. And mind you too, so I had a 9-month-old at the time. I was dealing with postpartum depression. I was dealing with anxiety, which, you know, is something I've dealt with for a long time. So not only am I having to learn all these new things, I'm also dealing with the emotional side of it. I have this new fear for my child's life of, I just, you know, are they going to be okay? Like, what if I accidentally make a mistake? you know, because the truth is we make mistakes, and that's okay. That's part of being a human. Like, we're not perfect people. And so mistakes are going to happen. But the scary part is when you have a child with food allergies, it's like that mistake could be deadly. And so it's something as a mom, when you're trying to protect your child, I mean, it can really eat you up inside. So my first shopping trip, I remember just going and reading all the ingredients and crying in the store. I remember I spent, I think, like $300 at Kroger because I was just buying anything that I thought was safe. And then I remember I was like, and then I'll get home and then I'm going to have to relook at all of those things. And oh my goodness, Lisa, nobody tells you about how much your grocery bills go up when you have a child with allergies, because you're having to buy all of these special foods, you know, these safe foods that are great and I'm so grateful for, but they're more expensive. And so then you also have this financial aspect that comes in, and oh my goodness, I mean, it's just, like I said, for a lot of us, that's why our world is turned upside down. But yeah, I think for me, as far as like finding safe foods, a lot of that happened when I turned to Instagram. So for those of you that don't know, I actually started my Instagram page. It was just on my personal page. So it used to just be my name. And I remember talking to one of my friends and she's like, you should just start talking about what you're going through on your stories, because I bet there's other people that are also going through this. So remember at the time, because I really didn't have, but maybe a few people that kind of understood, but not really. And so I just started talking on my Instagram stories, and I noticed these like food allergy moms, just kind of like that I didn't personally know, would start following me and messaging me. And then we started having conversations every day through Instagram. And I was like, wow, like this is so great. I can't believe there are these other moms going through this. And so I started like connecting with the moms on there. And so from there, I just started talking about it more and more. I kind of would document my shopping trips to Costco and just to other places. And even people who didn't have kids with food allergies, they were like, wow, I had no idea that you have to go through all this, you know, to keep your daughter safe. And I'm like, yeah, that's why I'm on here. I'm like, I have no community. Like, I'm like, does anybody else understand what I'm going through? So anyways, I kept doing that. And through there is when I also, you know, eventually became Allergy Friendly Mama. I came up with a cute little name. And from there, that's when I started learning about all of these allergy friendly brands that I had no idea existed. And I was like, this is amazing. So I was getting to try these products and then talk about them to other food allergy moms. And to me, I saw it as a win-win-win, right? I'm learning about these products and then I'm getting to talk about them. The other food allergy moms are getting to know about these products. And then it's great for the company too, because we want them to keep selling the allergy-friendly products. And so I'll say a lot of the snacks, I feel like I've learned through social media. So not so much going to the grocery store, but from what I've heard online, from the brands reaching out. And oh my goodness, I am just, and I think I tell them all the time, like how grateful I am that there are products that my daughter enjoys, but is also safe for her, and that I feel 100% confident, you know, sending a little snack in her backpack or wherever she's going that I know is safe and something she will enjoy. So it's just been just such a relief. I really, like, if I didn't have this food allergy community, I really don't know. I just feel like our lives would be look different. Like, I just don't know.
I think about the moms that came before us, you know, before there was social media and they had food allergies, and there really is, a gap in the bridge where we go to the allergists, and I love them. I love the allergists. Thank goodness for them. They do help us to a certain extent, but we really need to bridge that gap. And there's great nonprofits out there that are doing the best they can to do that. There's amazing advocates and educators and influencers on social media that are trying to bridge that gap as well. But you're so right when you mentioned earlier, you go to the allergist, you get this test, and sometimes they don't even give you the most basic education of like, avoid this food now. It's almost like in some situations when I talk to people, they leave the office where it's the allergist might have left it as it's assumed that you should avoid it, but there wasn't really instruction or education or definitely not really support. You know, it's like really being thrown to the wolves, so to speak. And so thank goodness for people like you, for the nonprofits, for all those resources that we do have, because it's kind of scary when people leave the allergist, you know, because it's not there really, that's kind of a void or a hole, I would say, where allergists in general, they could, I love them, but they could do a little bit better, even if it's just them directing to a nonprofit or, you know what I mean?
Yes.
A little bit more education, a pamphlet. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like a little bit more.
Yes. And, I know I've talked about this before, with one of my friends that's a dietitian, and she's mentioned that to me too. She's like, you know, they really need to have, you know, the follow-up with a nutritionist and a counselor. I think both are just so needed. And if the, you know, parent decides not to use those, then, you know, that's fine. But for those of us that I definitely would have, I would have been like, I need all the help I can get. I will take anything.
You're cutting out. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and even now, to be honest, I'm still kind of confused with, like, I think you had asked me, you know, what we do about eating out. Mm-hmm. And I still am like, when I tell people, I'm like, I don't know, like, because it's just always a risk. Like, mm-hmm. It is always a risk. There are places I feel a little more comfortable with. But at the same time, I can't say, yes, 100% your child is going to have the same experience as mine, because then it gets tricky, because all, you know, people have different ranges for their allergies. And mm-hmm. So it can just get really tricky. And so then you have that aspect too. Like, I remember asking our allergist probably like a year ago at our last appointment, I said, you know, can she like eat out at restaurants? Do you feel like with her numbers? And he's like, I mean, maybe just take Zyrtec before, but I'm like, well, that doesn't make me feel good.
Yeah.
Like, for me to give her Zyrtec to like, just in case she has a reaction. And I don't know. So that's why allergies to me are so hard, is because there's not this right answer for everybody. And there's not this wrong answer for everybody. It's kind of like, you have to kind of figure out what works best for your child. And it's hard.
Yeah, there's not a one size fits all. And it even as something as simple as what you think should be simple as testing,
yes.
Blood tests and skin tests and false negatives and false positives and, you know, and then food challenges and all the things. And it's so hard to even educate very well-intended friends, family, teachers, people in the neighborhood, people at church, whoever, because they're like, well, I know this one kid and they're allergic to peanuts or egg or dairy or whatever, and they eat here just fine. And it's like, well, yeah. And I know, and I understand that, but my kid is different, you know, and they don't understand that, because it kind of doesn't make sense to the human mind, honestly.
Right.
Well, like, what do you mean it's different for everybody? You know, because if you look at other things, you know, whether it's even a disease or an ailment or whatever, a lot of things usually do fit into a nice box, and food allergies don't. And that can make it hard even when educating people. Now, going back to the egg allergy, we're kind of going through something somewhat similar, in that Stetson was diagnosed with several new food allergies. And now, for a better quality of life and to find out if is he really allergic to them? You know, we're taking these tests and they're saying he is, but you know, then we take a test a year later and the numbers are different and, you know, things are showing he's not at all, but last year it showed he was. And so what is it? Is he allergic? Is he not allergic? And so food challenges, in-office food challenges. How did you go from, you know, she's allergic to egg to maybe she's not now allergic to egg? How was that for you?
Oh my goodness. Well, first let me say, okay, a lot of times, especially if you're on my Instagram, you'll see that I make jokes, not against food allergy, not against food challenges. But I almost have to laugh at myself because I always encourage people to do them if your allergist is suggesting it. But oh my goodness, there is nothing more stressful than a food challenge. Like, I am just being honest. I hate them, but I also love them. There are always so many mixed emotions. If they pass, it's scary. If they fail, it's scary. It's always a weird thing when you're going from like, you can't eat this, this could kill you, to all of a sudden be like, oh, you can eat this now, but let's make sure we feed it to you this many times a week, just in case you have a reaction, but you should be good. You know, it's like, it's good. Obviously, if your allergist is suggesting it, I always encourage that you do that, because if that's one more food your child can add into the diet, I mean, we all know that's huge, right? Mm-hmm. So for Emma's egg allergy, her egg number was always pretty low. And when I say her egg number, this is just from when we did blood tests, which I know are not 100% accurate. But that's, you know, sometimes that's like the best we have to go off of. And so her number kept dropping and we started introducing baked egg. And I believe the office had like a recipe that we used. So it was like, we would put the egg into the muffins and she would eat like one muffin every few days or something like that. And eventually when she, you know, was having no reactions, we started moving on to other things that had baked eggs. So like pancakes, eventually cookies. And then I believe the last step we got to before scrambled egg was French toast. And so we did French toast. She was fine. And we finally got to introduce scrambled eggs. I'll be honest with you, Lisa. It hasn't been this like perfect story though. I don't feel like it was ever just like we did the eggs and there were no symptoms at all. I do remember when we gave her eggs, like one time she complained that her stomach was hurting really bad and she was like crying about it. And so then I would get nervous. I wouldn't give her eggs for a while. I'd wait for the next allergist appointment, tell him what happened. And then he would look at the numbers again and be like, I really think she's fine. Try it again.
How stressful. Yeah.
I know. And so, and see, and that's the problem. Cause I would always be like, and this is my anxiety talking too. Right. So yeah. I would be like, well, is your stomach hurting from the egg or is it just like a normal stomach ache that kids get sometimes?
Cause it can happen. And then it's, how do you know, is this a reaction? Do I need to EpiPen? Do I, you know what I mean? Exactly. Is this just,
Exactly. And so then it, you know, and then for me as a mom, then I get scared to give it to her again, because I'm like, well, what if she just had the stomachache this time, but next time she could have, you know, a full-blown anaphylactic reaction? Like, I don't know. And it's scary. And so that's why I think it's important, though, to be, you know, in touch with your allergist. Let them know. They will help you make the right decisions. And I think that's one thing I need to remember, too, is like, I'm not doing this by myself. Like, I do have the allergist. Obviously, we have a food allergy community as well. But thankfully, she has been able to have egg and we haven't had any problems since that first, maybe like couple times we gave it to her. And she eats it all the time. And I am so thankful. And I'm grateful that she likes it too, because I'm like, that's such an easy protein. Mm-hmm. You know, especially because she can't do dairy. Dairy has been, oh my goodness, so hard to avoid. So I'm so grateful that, you know, she has outgrown the egg allergy. And I'll tell you, I don't think it's anything we did, if that helps.
Right. Because so many people will ask.
Natural.
Yeah. What did you do? Because they want to do it too, you know?
Right. Of course. Yeah. So I do feel like it was definitely nothing that we did. I think it was just her body's, I don't know, chemistry changed or something changed. Yeah. And now she's able to eat egg, and she's actually outgrown, let's see, almond, hazelnut. And then a few months ago, we went in and challenged pistachio and cashew, and she passed. So that was exciting. Yeah. So that was exciting. But, you know, we're still avoiding walnut and pecan, which a lot of times it's hard to find nuts that don't have cross contamination with other nuts. So, you know, it is what it is, though.
Yeah. And going back to what you talked about earlier, you made mention of mistakes, and we're all human and we're all going to make mistakes. And I think that it's so important to give grace, not only to others. I've mentioned on a previous podcast episode that my son, he had a reaction, and his leader at church had to give him the EpiPen. It was actually the AuviQ. And I wasn't even, I made sure to let him know, I am not mad at you, you know, I don't care whose fault it was. I am only glad that you Epied first and Epied fast, and that my kid is safe and fine now. But giving grace to others, but I think also giving grace to ourselves.
Yes, 100%. And I totally agree with you. You know, and I tell people this all the time. It's like, we can only do the best we can, and that is enough for our kids. If you're doing the best you can, and you are, you know, whoever's watching your kids are, you know how to use the EpiPen or are aware of the allergies. I always like to send Emma safe snacks, safe food wherever she goes, so I don't have to worry. The caretaker doesn't need to worry. It just makes things so much easier. And I have to say, I am so impressed that someone had the courage to use the EpiPen on your son, especially at a church setting. Luckily, we are at a church as well that I feel like is just super aware of allergies, and they do a really, really great job. I have had a lot of people message me that church can be a very scary place. Mm-hmm. Cause a lot of times schools will have really good plans set in place, but churches don't. But yeah. I just encourage you to look, or maybe if your church doesn't, I mean, bring it up to them, be like, hey, this is kind of a concern of mine. Cause I know, I actually work at one of my churches, local churches, and I know if something like that was brought up, we would definitely look into it. And I think a lot of places would. And maybe that's not your church. Maybe it's like a daycare or somewhere else that you're at. But if it is something that's concerning, I mean, definitely bring it up, because, you know, they're there to help help your kid. And I think it's important.
Yeah. So. And maybe even share what you do at school, because schools kind of do have it down more, so to speak. Yes. That might give them ideas on how they might be able to also utilize some of those rules or guidelines or safety measures, but in a church setting. And what's kind of interesting is, so they were on a camp out in the middle of the desert, in the middle of nowhere. And luckily, this church leader that was with him out there is anaphylactic to bee stings. And so he luckily was familiar with anaphylaxis, even though it's not food related anaphylaxis. And he was familiar with how to use an EpiPen, even though it was an AuviQ, but it was enough that he didn't hesitate and everything, you know, ended up being fine. But yeah, it was scary because I wasn't there. Was like an hour, away from me. And you know, there is, you know, fact, the nonprofit, they have some more stuff if anybody wants to kind of deep dive a little bit more for behavioral health on their website. And it talks about PTSD related to food allergies, and not to minimize PTSD from other things, you know, with military or things like that. And that might not be something that like the average person thinks of when they think of stress and anxiety and mental health. They may not think of PTSD and things like that related to food allergies, but it's real. Right. And I do love that so many in the food allergy community are kind of bringing more awareness to the mental health aspect of it. And kind of transitioning, I love how authentic and down to earth you are on your social media. It really comes across. And I think that's why people really connect to you. What has been a good thing to come from living a life with food allergies, caring for your daughter, but also from sharing your journey online? Has that kind of helped not only you, but others, would you say, not just in finding food allergy friendly products, but even like the mental health aspect of it?
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, first of all, thank you. That was the sweetest compliment ever. Yeah. I appreciate that so much. Yeah, I feel like definitely one of the positive things that has come out of Emma's food allergies has just been the community for us. You know, one of my friends, I don't know if you remember, she used to be Life with Itchy. Her name is Kate.
Yeah. And I know she took a break from social media. Did she ever come back with, you know, more things for food allergies?
She's not, and I wish she would, but
she was fun to watch.
Oh, she was hilarious. She would come up with the funniest memes, and she was another one that I felt was just super down to earth, just always making me laugh. But she's someone that I connected with through Instagram. And the really cool thing is we talk, you know, at least once or twice a week now. I live in Georgia. She lives in California. We've never met, but I consider her, you know, a really good friend. And I thought, wow, I would have never met her if our kids didn't have food allergies and we weren't going through something similar at the same time. And yeah, it's just been really cool to see, like, for me, I was also in a place, you know, I was a stay-at-home mom. I was like, where does God want me right now? Like, what am I doing with my life? I just have this, you know, I have these two amazing kids. My kid has just been diagnosed with food allergies. I kind of was in a place, I had a church community. I had maybe a little bit of a neighborhood community, but not so much at the time. And so, yeah, the social media community just, it was amazing. And I feel like, I don't know if you've noticed this, but when we first started, I consider you and me, we're like the OGs of the food allergy community. Like, I consider us like the OGs.
Yeah,
but there are so
especially with social media, because there was more, you know, back in like 06, 07, 08, 09, like very early on social media, it was really more nonprofits or support groups, so to speak. But it really wasn't until around the time that you and I started that people started becoming, I guess we're labeled influencers. I don't know if I necessarily consider myself an influencer, do you know what I mean? Kind of where we took this, support, you know, instead of like a support group, so to speak, but we as individuals, as moms started really, we were kind of the pioneers of, using social media for food allergy, like more individually, I guess, as opposed to like the nonprofits and stuff, but doing it in that way. And so it was kind of interesting to see, how we influenced others doing it and how much it's grown, because when we were starting, there wasn't as many, and now there's a lot.
Yes. Like, I remember when we started, I mean, there was maybe like three of us that I could even think of right now off the top of my head. And I thought that was so cool. I was like, look at us. We're like food allergy moms. And now, I mean, it just blows me away. I mean, I'm constantly there's different profiles coming up of, you know, food allergy moms, or what I really love now is following the college students. Because for me, I'm already thinking, okay, so Emma's growing up very quickly and I need to know what, you know, how to help her once she gets to maybe like the high school age, and then, you know, college will be coming soon.
Yeah, dating and, so it's and college.
And so I'm really enjoying now being able to hear from that side, which when I first started, I can't remember there being anyone that was really talking about it on social media. So I love that there's just, oh my goodness, like it's just grown so much. And I'm just so grateful. I think about Emma when she gets older, I'm like, oh, she's already going to have this awesome community of people. And I think that's really, really great. And I think that's why it's so important. I always encourage people just to share your story, because you never know who you can help through your story or who you'll get connected to And it's really just a beautiful thing once you do. And I feel like, you know, food allergies for us has been something really hard, but it's also turned into this really beautiful story as well. So I try to remember that. And I think that helps me get through those really hard moments, especially when I'm doing those, you know, food challenges where I'm so stressed. And I remember thinking, but you know what? I just encouraged this mom to go do that. So, you know what? I can do this too. Or I just saw this mom do it. So yeah, if she can do it, I can do it. And I think that is like such a beautiful thing of being part of this community.
It really is. And in our family, we use humor to handle stressful situations. And not that food allergies are a joke. And that is one of the things, there's always, you know, two sides to everything, right? And so sometimes I do see, especially if I'm on TikTok, where it's like sometimes some people will do anything for a view. And it's really hard. And I'm sure you can relate to this, but you're really good at navigating it because you're able to do these fun reels where you can bring laughter and you can bring humor. How do you do that? How do you navigate social media where you're able to show like the fun side of it and kind of like, you know, make a joke about how much it's so expensive for the, you know, the certain snacks or the different things where you're able to bring humor to it, because humor really is helpful in stressful situations. I mean, there's even studies that have been proven, you know, that humor can really help even in those very scary, stressful situations. How are you able to do that and navigate it so that you're putting out good information and helpful things?
Yeah. So I feel like that's just kind of part of like who I am. I know you had mentioned like, I do want to always come across as someone that's real and relatable because that's just who I am. I'm like, I never want to come onto social media and pretend that I'm somebody else or trying to be a certain way. One thing I always tell my husband, and he knows this about me, is I'm always like, if somebody laughs at my joke, like they are my people. And it always makes me happy. Like if somebody gets my sense of humor or my joke or whatever it is. Yeah. And I don't know. I just feel like a lot of times I'll like hear something on like someone else's reel, like whatever the song is or the saying is. And it just will immediately click with me. And I'm like, oh, I have to do a video on this or, you know, and it's obviously something that I've been through as a mom. And usually when I post it, I'm like, I have a feeling other moms have been through this because either I've had conversations or whatever it is. So, yeah. And I never, ever, ever want, you know, it to come across as rude or like food allergies is a joke. That is definitely not my intention. It's always, I would hope maybe another food allergy mom sees it and can laugh and say, oh my goodness, I can't believe she like, yes, I can relate to that so much. She feels the same way. And so that's always my intention with doing reels is hopefully I can just bring a smile to somebody's face or make them laugh and just remind them like, yeah, you're definitely not alone. Like we have gone through some crazy things. Yeah. And I know the video you're talking about with the inflation prices.
Yeah.
And I'm like when normal people are complaining, I'm like, guys, like if you only knew like how expensive allergy friendly foods are before the inflation, like it was already expensive and now we're having to double it. I mean, it's just, oh, it's been brutal, but like, what else am I going to do? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I can either sulk or I can just laugh about it. And we can all laugh together and, you know, help us get through the hard times. So I really do think laughter does help, you know, get through harder situations. So hopefully that's coming across in my videos.
It does. It does. And I completely agree with you. And I think it's easier for adults to do that and kind of model that for our kids. And I've tried to do that. And now I've seen my son where even after he did have his anaphylactic reaction, he was kind of making some jokes about it, just with us, just with family. And he even said, he's like, Mom, I kind of have to make some jokes about it because when I do, it helps to relieve some of the anxiety I have from the situation. And I'm like, you do that, you know? And kind of going back to things that can be easier for adults, handling exclusion Now it's still difficult. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes to be excluded. It doesn't matter if you're one or 100, right? Like nobody likes to be excluded.
Right.
It can be difficult and hurtful. But for children, because they are so young and new to life and new to each situation is new to them, you know, birthday parties or school or whatever. And they go in so wide-eyed and innocent. And sometimes it just can really be the worst. You know, not that anyone tries to intentionally exclude them, but just when you live a life with food allergies, no matter how hard you try to communicate and plan and be prepared, exclusion still happens. So how have you navigated school and social situations with trying to help Emma be included? Or even how have you handled when it just isn't possible or mistakes happen or communication falls through? How have you been able to kind of help yourself as a parent? Because it crushes our hearts too when we see them so sad. But how have you handled that both for you and for Emma?
So I'll preface this by saying, like I say, there's no right or wrong way to do this. I feel like everybody is so different on how they handle things or what they're comfortable with. But for us, one thing that helps with my anxiety, is always making sure I have safe snacks for Emma wherever we go. And we've had the sweetest friends. I mean, we really have a great community here who are always like, can I make something for Emma that's safe? And you know, maybe I'll get to that point of saying yes. But still for right now, I'm always like, oh, you're so sweet, but I'm just going to bring something for Emma. And then I always just ask Emma, like, if it's a birthday party, I'll say, hey, do you want one of your cupcakes? Do you want me to make those special cookies? Like, what treat do you want to bring? So she has something that she's excited about, but that she knows is safe, that I know is safe. So then we can enjoy the event. And I'm not sitting there thinking like, okay, but you know, I know they made that safe for Emma, but did they use a spoon that they used for the peanut butter or, you know, so I don't have to worry about that. And as far as school, I will tell you, oh my goodness, we have been just so blessed by the school that we're at. So my kids are at a public school and it's, you know, I would say it's a little bit of a smaller school. It's a sweet little community. And we have something called a 504 plan for Emma. And basically it allows her to, number one, she carries her EpiPen. So I let her pick out a cute purse and she has her EpiPen in there and she gets to wear it around at school. I was a little not so sure at first if I wanted her to do this, because I always thought, well, what if she like takes it out and starts playing with it? But she is in first grade now and she carried it around with her last year and this year, and we haven't had any issues. So that's been a very positive experience. Also with the 504 plan, basically it allows us to go on any field trips with Emma. So anytime, my husband just went on the last field trip with her on the zoo. So all the other parents, you know, have to meet the kids at the zoo that were volunteering. Well, my husband got to like ride on the bus with her.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So it kind of has, I say like, it kind of has its perks when your child has food allergies, because we get to be involved with everything that Emma's doing. Like anytime there's anything in class, you know, we're aware of it. We can either come or if we feel comfortable not coming, but at least like we get the option. And then, oh my goodness, Emma has the two most amazing teachers this year. They text me, because I've kind of told them like, these are two of the candies that she can have, but I always ask them to still make sure they check with me before they give it to them. Just because I'm always thinking about, there was some juice that came out one time that put milk in it for whatever reason, which I was like, really guys, do we need to add milk to juice? Like really? And so I always have that in the back of my head. So I'm always like, she can have these two candies, but please still make sure you check with me. And so they're always so great. Like if they're doing a Easter activity coming up and she texted me, you know, a picture of the Starburst jelly beans. And then she texted me a picture of the ingredients on the back. I'm like, oh my goodness, you're amazing. Like, she'll literally be at the store. I almost feel like, you know, kind of what I do, taking pictures of the ingredients and the, you know, packaging. And yeah, so for the most part, though, we send all of Emma's food everywhere she goes, even in her classroom. So if a kid brings in a birthday treat, for example, obviously, sometimes, you know, the teachers don't know that's going to happen. And I can't just drop everything and make a cupcake and bring it to her in 15 minutes. And so we actually keep a safe thing of treats for Emma in the teacher's closet so they can just grab it out. So that way Emma's not feeling like she's excluded. So she's still included in everything. And honestly, at this point, like I said, she's only six, but I haven't really had any moments where she's been super disappointed about not being able to like fit in or eat the same things. I think she's so always good. Just happy to have her treats. You know, she has those special cookies or whatever it is that she enjoys. So I will say there was one field trip where this was in preschool where they went to a pizza shop and I was like, oh my goodness. And so that one I did choose not to let her go because that was just way too risky. But other than that, we really try to include Emma in everything and everywhere we go, even at restaurants. A lot of times we don't feel like super comfortable with her eating there, but we'll bring like her own dinner or her own lunch so she can at least be part of it. So,
and have you, you had any trouble with the restaurants letting you bring in food? I've always heard of people doing this and I think it's fantastic. And I've, most of the time I don't hear of any problems with it. Every now and then I've heard where some people say like the restaurant wouldn't let them. And I've always been curious, especially now that my son has a garlic, he's anaphylactic to garlic. That's what he had the reaction to at the camp out that I mentioned earlier. And that stuff's in everything as a seasoning or a spice or a natural flavor. So how have you done that?
Well, I'll be honest. I don't think we have ever been refused that, or they've never told us no, that she can't have her food brought in. There was one instance where I remember we were going to like a museum or something, and I knew that they had lunch stuff there. So I just called ahead of time just to confirm. So I would say if it's a place where you're maybe like not sure if they'll let that happen, just always call ahead of time to confirm, because I can't imagine a restaurant or someplace saying no if your child has serious food allergies. I mean, that just seems absurd. And to be honest, if that happened to me, I would be like, yeah, we're not eating here then. That's ridiculous. I mean, it's not like my child is choosing this.
Right. And you have other people that are patrons, they're purchasing meals. So it's not like you're just squatting or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, but I've never had that happen. I would think if that does, that would have to be a really rare case. Because we've gone out several times. Yeah. Yeah. So it's helped a lot. It helps with, you know, my anxiety, knowing that, you know, she has her safe foods and we're not worried about whatever they're bringing out with the cross contamination and all that. So, I definitely feel like that has helped, you know, and then she's also feeling included in everything, which is so important. So,
absolutely. Now, what's one piece of advice that you would give to other mamas out there that they may be wondering, am I doing enough? Am I doing all I can do? Am I doing it right?
Yes. So I always like to say, and I said this in the beginning, if you are doing the best you can, then you are doing enough. And that's so true. It's not going to be a perfect journey for any of us. I've had to epi Emma before because of a mistake that we made at home. But like I said, too, mistakes happen, right? So it's not going to be this perfect journey. You're not going to be the perfect mom. Things are going to happen. And when things do happen, give yourself grace because you are human. And that's just part of life. And unfortunately, with food allergies, it is so much harder. It's so much harder because it does make you feel like you have to be perfect, you know, all the time when it comes to your child's food and everywhere they're going, to be honest, you know, wiping down surfaces and all of that. But at the end of the day, just do the best you can. And that is enough. That's more than enough for your child. And you are doing a great job. That's why I always tell moms, you are doing an awesome job. So keep it up. Get connected in the community, the food allergy community. We're all going through this together. Get some laughs out once in a while. You know, make some friends with some other food allergy moms, and it really, really will help you along your journey.
It really will. And that is such great advice, because I really do believe that, you know, nobody wants to hurt their child, because we're all imperfect, and it's okay. Right. At the end of the day, yes. It's okay. Yep. Now, before we go, tell us, where can, if people are like, oh, this mom is great, you know, I want to connect with her, I want to learn more from her, where can they find you online and on social media?
So they can find me. I'm Allergy Friendly Mama, and you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
All right. Perfect. Well, Lindsay, it was so good. Like I said, I really felt like I had talked to you before, because your voice sounds familiar and everything.
Yes, same.
But it was fun to officially first time talk to you, quote unquote, yes. In person, if you will. Yes. So thank you for taking time to join me today. Be sure to follow Lindsay, Emma, and their family, the Allergy Friendly Mama, online and on social media. This is the Food Allergy Talk podcast, where you can come to connect and leave uplifted, empowered, and ready for success. I'm your host, Lisa Horn of Food Allergy PI. Thanks for tuning in to the Food Allergy Talk podcast. Don't miss a future episode. Let's stay connected. Be sure to subscribe at iTunes, Spotify, Google, Amazon, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Pandora, TuneIn Alexa, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Pocket Casts, Deezer, Listen Notes, Player FM, Podcast Index, and Reason FM. And until next time, remember, don't hesitate, investigate, and always carry two. This podcast is brought to you by the Everything Nut Allergy Cookbook, available now wherever books are sold. Details at foodallergypi.com.